way or another. I'm finding that things don't change a lot. Regardless of what fraternity you get into, it's all the same. So these fellows are trying me out tonight, I see. I have never forgiven James Dodd for resigning as superintendent of Oklahoma. Maybe someday before the rapture takes place, I'll get that under the blood. But Mr. Dodd, would you stand, please? We're sure glad to have you here tonight. They're beautiful people. Amen. Tremendous leaders. And Brother Dodd is the prince among preachers. We're certainly glad they were able to be here at the conference tonight. You know, I attended my first district superintendent's conference down in South Carolina. And you learn a lot at those conferences if you just keep your ears open. One of the things I learned at the conference was that there was a country preacher who tried out for a city church. They liked his preaching very well, but he made several grammatical errors that sort of disturbed the board a bit. They thought if they could talk to him and maybe help him a little along the way, that they could invite him as pastor. So they called him in for this conference, and they thought they'd get something that he was familiar with, being from the country. They said, "We want to know when a hen is on a nest, is she sitting or is she setting?" He scratched his head a little bit. He said, "Well, I tell you, fellas, where I came from, we ain't too concerned whether she's sitting or setting. We want to know whether she's laying a line." Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Let's pray. Oh, Almighty God, we bless you and we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for without the shedding of that blood, there is no cleansing for sin. Look upon us and help us tonight, O Lord. Many have come here to this conference, and they've come from a bad fight with the devil, some desperate struggles. Some of us need our wounds healed tonight. Many have left the problems of the church and of their work behind, coming here for refreshing from above. We look heavenward tonight for that inner strength, that encouragement that only you can give. Help us to inhale the very air of heaven tonight as we worship the Lamb of God. Jesus is his name, slain from the foundation of the world. May we all fix our hearts and our minds on eternity tonight. For while breath is in our nostrils, we're all tottering to the grave, and we're soon going to face our eternal reward. Help us to take advantage of every opportunity to love and serve you and unite us all in loving fellowship for the heart of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. For a while tonight, I want to brag on Jesus. Today, we need an immediate manifestation of the supernatural miracle-working power that is available to us through His name. Jesus is His name. The Apostle Paul states that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And those words came from a man who claimed a direct, profound, personal acquaintance with the exalted Christ. It's mighty important that we have a deep personal relationship with exalted Christ. You know, our relationship with Christ bleeds through in everything we do. And don't you forget it. And Paul makes very little attempt to tell us how he became acquainted with the exalted Christ. But we do know from the scriptures that it happened on the Damascus Road. And perhaps the reason Paul doesn't go into details is because he feels that words were totally inadequate for this purpose. But in reading the account, there was a radiant light which seemed to be the outstanding feature of this encounter, as Paul recalls. And from that very moment on, Christ was always that unfading light to the Apostle Paul. Praise God. And Paul describes the dawn of faith as seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, for he goes on to say, it is God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who hath shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. As the old creation was inaugurated by the shining of light to dispel darkness which lay upon the face of the deep, Genesis 1 and 2, so the gospel was inaugurated by the shining of light, the unfading glory of Jesus Christ to dispel the darkness and the blindness of unbelief. And when the angels stepped forth from the heavens and spoke to Joseph, saying, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to know, a new day broke forth in God's divine economy. A Savior was born, and Jesus is his name. One day, Jesus came to a synagogue in Nazareth, and he walked to the front. It was not just a casual stride to the front of the synagogue. I want you to know the scripture says that he had returned from his wilderness temptation, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And so, when he walked into that synagogue on this day, he walked in the power of the Spirit. We need more preachers today walking to the pulpit in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It would make a big, big difference in how we preach. It would make a big, big difference in some of our churches. And it would make a mighty big difference in the results that we see if we would simply walk to that pulpit in the power of the Spirit. They handed Jesus the scroll. He turned to the prophecy of Isaiah, and he opened the book, for it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach. Hallelujah. And that's the only way any of us are going to be able to preach. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon us and anoints us to preach. Hallelujah. He said he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to bind up the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And this he did. Hallelujah. Jesus is his name. And brother, that sent heavenly shockwaves across the religious world as people who sat in darkness saw a great light, as never a man spoke like this man. Who could say to the woman taken in the sin of adultery, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Nobody but Jesus. Who could say to the blind, receive thy sight? Nobody but Jesus. Who could say to the cripple, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Nobody but Jesus. Who could say to the howling winds and the boisterous waves, peace be still? Nobody but Jesus. Who could say to a man dead 4 days and in the tomb, come out of that tomb, a Lazarus, and he came forth? Nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Whenever a man spake like this man, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. I turn over in the book a little further, and I find defending himself in John before the religious authorities, Peter made a very exclusive claim for the name of Jesus when he said, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, that's powerful doctrine. And then Peter really put himself in a special category when he claimed that there is not only salvation available through the name of Jesus Christ, but there is also healing for the body. When he reported that the lame man sitting at the gate of the temple was healed through faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that did send shockwaves through the religious world. And what an exciting demonstration of the power and authority of Jesus' name. When Peter confronted that lame man at the gate, he looked at him with faith in his heart, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Hallelujah. And instantly waves of healing power surged through that weak, crippled body. And his response was predictable, as was the crowd's reaction. For the scripture says, he, leaping up, hallelujah, stood and walked, entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God and were filled with wonder and amazement. What a name! Jesus! Say it with me! Jesus! Say it again! Jesus! What a name! What a Savior! What a healer! At the name of Jesus, angels bow. At the name of Jesus, devils obey. At the name of Jesus, men are delivered and rejoice at what he does in their lives. Hallelujah, what a name. You know, Peter had been taught about the power of that name by Jesus himself. For he had heard Jesus promise more than once that whatever was asked in his name would be granted. We need to understand today that the simple mention
of his name brings into focus his work on the cross and all that is included in the fulfillment of that blessed work, the name of Jesus. Matthew, commenting on the healing ministry of Jesus, reached back hundreds of years to the writings of Isaiah, where Isaiah recorded, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Jesus is heaven's alabaster box, broken to sweeten our lives and bring divine blessings from above. No, Jesus, talking to his disciples one day, said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And the scripture records, when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, there came a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as she sat at meat. And his disciples were angry and said, "What way? This ointment could have been sold for much and given to the poor." And Jesus said, "Why trouble the woman? She hath wrought a good work. She hath poured this ointment on my body for burial." What he was saying was, "Fellas, I'm going to be crucified, and this woman has blessed me. Don't criticize her in the midst of all my turmoil and strife and all that's surrounding me. How good to smell the fragrance of love and devotion. How comforting to know that somebody cares, and wherever this gospel is preached, this story will be told." In a short while, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He has been beaten, spit on, his clothing stripped from him. Now he's hanging there in dereliction and shame. But neighbor, when Jesus was crucified, they broke heaven's alabaster box, opening the fountains of heaven, allowing heaven's healing ointment to flow into wounded, broken spirits and souls just at the mention of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," heaven's alabaster box was broken, and his name is ointment poured forth. Solomon said, "His name is ointment poured forth." You know, for ointment to be effective, it must be poured forth from the vessel onto the wound. And see it, my brother, see it, my sister, when Jesus was nailed to that old rugged cross and his side was riven, that blood that stained the old rugged cross became heaven's blood that stained that cross, and it was heaven's ointment poured forth to bring healing to the wounded, broken, sin-crushed hearts around this world. And that blood shall never, no, never lose its power. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we are all very conscious of the broad cleavage of social caste that divides our society. We see it every day. We deal with it in our churches. It's a familiar fact to all of us. But Jesus simply ignores it. He is a friend to all. He does not deem it beneath him to have the poor professing his name or openly claiming friendship with him. All the loftiness of his position, seated at the right hand of the Father, does not create the slightest gap between him and the lowliest of men. Jesus is his name. I've often wondered how one so mighty and so powerful could condescend from his magnificence and select the society of the outcast as objects of his love and commit himself to dwell in our hearts. Oh, that's the wonder of it all. And all I can say is such love, such wondrous love, that he could love a sinner like me. He whose life is infinite, he who before this earth and the worlds were framed, was no younger, neither will be any older when they have been consumed. He whose presence reaches out yonder to the farthest fixed star that the telescope can find, out yonder on the verges of the universe, He who is the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity reaches down to fallen humanity and enters into our poor and crushed and broken estate and brings us forgiveness and peace and hope and love. Brother, to me, that's the mystery of the Godhead. And that's what Jesus is all about. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah said, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And all of this becomes ours and becomes available to us today through faith in His name. And don't you forget it. And you know, with great confidence, Jesus Himself declared, In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I was reading that the other day, and I thought, well, if Jesus believes it would happen, we ought to believe it too. And we do, don't we? We do, don't we? Praise God. The early church believed it. First century saints believed it. Well, the scripture says that they lifted up their voices to God with one accord, saying, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. You know, there is a man, dead, buried, and living again, whose every word still vibrates around this world, and His words are still power, and His words are still life. There is a man who was nailed to the old rugged cross, and today millions around this world still kneel before Him and give Him praise and adoration. Hallelujah. There was a man who was placed in the tomb, and on the third day he came forth out of that tomb. And though that tomb, that sepulcher, is empty, it's guarded by love and devotion as that 19 centuries cannot cool. He still lives in the hearts of the believers. There is a man, though he is not with us today, present in body, but he's got a mighty army that's marching across this land. Hallelujah. We're on our way home. Hear the tramp, tramp, tramping of the marching. Hallelujah. We're marching upwards to Zion, that beautiful city of God. And I tell you what, tonight, my heavenly home looks bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. How about you? Praise God. No other name is as great, Jesus. No other name is as lovely, Jesus. No other name is as enduring, Jesus. You know, there's something about that name. It's still just as fresh and new and wonderful and rich and lovely as it was the first time I knelt at an altar and surrendered my life to Him. It's still just as powerful as it has ever been. Praise His name. Jesus is the name we teach our children to say when they're so very young. Jesus is the name that we use in all of our services. Jesus is the name that is interwoven in all of our prayer life that really gets through to God. Jesus is the name that's interwoven into all of our praise, that brings to us inspiration and strength and courage and joy. Jesus is the name that our forefathers took to the schoolhouses and to the countryside and to the brush arbors. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of prestige. They didn't have a lot of education, but they knew Jesus. Hallelujah. And when they left those communities, they left the church established on a solid rock, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, it's a name we've got to take today to our cities. We take it to the offices. We take it to the factories. We take it to the back alleys, to the slums of our cities. We send it to the four corners of this world. Why? Because it is the only name that can lift the burden of sin, that can fill a heart with peace and purity and beauty and give them something worth living for, whether they live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or the Cameroons, West Africa. He gives them something worth living for. Praise God, praise God. You know, there's no other name so lovely, no other name so wonderful. And preacher, let me tell you tonight, it is in that hallowed and holy name that we fight our battles. Are we going to lose every time? It is in that high and holy name that we must celebrate our victory. You are not smart enough. You are not intelligent enough to win those victories on your own. It's in that name that we must celebrate our victories. Hallelujah. It is in that name that we must preach our sermons, for they will never accomplish what the Father intends them to accomplish. And it is in that name that we must live our lives. In that holy name, we dedicate our children. In that holy name, we bless the union of marriage. In that holy name, we commit our loved ones to the grave. And it is because of that holy name that we have hope that one of these days they'll come again out of that grave, because there was a man named Jesus, hallelujah, who was put in the tomb, and on the third day he arose as he said, and he came forth saying, because I live, ye live also. And that's our hope today. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, John the Revelator was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John said, I saw him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, his dead. And he laid his right hand on me. You ever felt that hand? Some of you need that touch tonight. Hallelujah. He said, fear not. Fear not, John. There are a lot of lives that are gripped with fear. Now, all of those lives are outside the ministry. But there's a hand that can touch you tonight. There's a voice that can say to you, fear not. He said, John, fear not. I'm the first. And I'm the last. I am him that liveth. And I was dead. But behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of death. And I've got the keys of hell. And I want you to know, I have never read in that book where he ever turned them over to anybody else. He still got them. Praise God. You know, as I walk the road of life, after I have been entertained, after I have been amused, after I have been instructed, after I've been sung to, after I've been preached to, I want somebody to take me by the hand and walk life's road with me that's got the keys of death and that's got the keys of hell. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With a songwriter, I say, Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's troubled sea and make my life and make my ministry what it ought to be. Dear Jesus, abide with me. I need him. I've got to have him. I've got to have him. You know, I can't get along without him. I don't ever want him to leave me. I don't ever try to preach without him. I say, Jesus, don't ever let me go into that hospital room without you. Don't ever let me go into that jail cell to counsel with somebody without you. Don't ever let me go into that rest home without you. Don't ever let me go into that business meeting without you. Oh, Jesus,
Don't ever let me go to that pulpit without you. Tell me what to say. The world won't believe on me. Oh, we've got to have him. We've got to have him. We've got to have him. There is one mediator between God and man. There is only one that reaches down to us with one hand and up to God with the other hand and pulls us together. His name is Jesus. And let's never forget it. Let's never forget it. We ought to start, we ought to start recognizing Jesus more in our services. I really believe that. You know, it wouldn't have hurt if we had some seminars on Jesus. We've got seminars on everything going. We've got seminars on miracles, seminars on gifts, and on and on and on and on we could go. But I must be honest with you. I'm afraid some fellows today have got a hold of the kingdom by the wrong end. Sometimes I feel like a nobody. I do. I feel like a nobody. You know why? Because I can't stand up here and say, now there's somebody in Chicago sitting on a blue couch. Your hair is red. You have horn-rimmed glasses. Your suit is blue. And your shoes are brown. And you have got trouble. Bad trouble. In your right shoulder. And it's moving down into your right hip. Say, Lord, what's wrong with me? Do you play favorites, Lord? I pastored for 17 and a half years in one church. And you know what? Some people came in and they left. I had some came in one time and they said, oh, Brother Newbern, would you get this evangelist? I said, oh, you like him? Oh, he can just look at you and tell you whether you've got the headache, the earache, the stomachache, the legache, whatever's wrong with you, he can tell you. I said, I'm not going to have him. They said, why? I said, because I don't want anybody coming here starting something I can't keep up. I'm the pastor. I've got to live with this thing when he's gone. But you know, I'm very perceptive. I can determine one thing. I've worked on this for about 30 years in the ministry. And I can tell when you've got kidney trouble. When you get up and leave while I'm preaching, but I'm even having some second thoughts about that. I don't know if it's a bad kidney or a small bladder. I'm going to have to get that worked out. But I can lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. Fellow said to me the other day, he said, Brother Newbern, where can I find an evangelist that'll just come in and lift up Jesus? He said, I don't want anybody laying them out. I don't want anybody having to have hind pitchers. You know, that always troubled me. These fellows that come in with a hind pitchers. I've never known the Holy Spirit hurt anybody, have you? You know, this wasn't in my notes. I should have stuck with my notes. But I can lift up Jesus. We've got a lot of people, you know, that are wrapped up in miracles and wrapped up in gifts and miracles and gifts and miracles and gifts.
You know what? As a pastor, I watched those. I watched those people that had come under that kind of ministry. And I found out that a lot of those fellas were putting the iron in the fire. And there wasn't any heat there. And they did their branding. But they didn't leave their mark on anybody in any way. I was raised on a farm. We run our cattle on the open range. And you better have a good brand on them when roundup time came. You wanted to get what belonged to you. And then where I came from, every now and then you saw somebody that could put a... take your brand and add a little to it. But I'll tell you what. We need to get back today to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and it brands us with a changed life. It brands us as a changed man, young and old, alike, praise God. It brands us, this gospel brands us for time and for eternity. I want to purpose anew in my ministry to preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ and his gospel and let him do what he wants to do. Praise God. I want to show you something about Jesus' self-disclosure. Now, you be patient with me. I was patient with you tonight. I've just been going hardly 30 minutes, okay? Let me show you something I think is very important about the self-disclosure of Christ. This is regarding his identity. The Jews found it difficult to accept Jesus as their true Messiah, and at the conclusion of a heated dispute with the Pharisees in John the 8th chapter, Jesus asserted, "If you continue in my words, you're truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And that brought an angry response from the Pharisees. They said, "We are descendants of Abraham, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you can make us free?" And then brought a series of messianic claims, which concluded with the astounding statement, "Truly I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Praise God. Jesus was saying, "I am the author of Abraham's call. I am the author of Abraham's life. I am the author of Abraham's promise." And friend, that ultimate I am, the uncreated creator, is with us today, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Praise God. Linger with me on the immensity of this assertion. Before Abraham was, or anything, or anyone existed, I am. Let me pursue that just a little bit. I'll read a little further. He said, "I am. Fear not." What words to this generation today? "I am. Fear not. I am the life of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Moses heard him a long time before this. He said, "If I come, Lord, to the people of Israel to lead them out as you have asked me to do, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What can I say to them?" The answer Moses received introduced him to a powerful new name for his own and for his people's struggles. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." You say to the people,
that I am hath sent thee. And this name stands for the Lord divine self-disclosure. He is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of our destiny. He's the Lord of our circumstances. He's the Lord of our struggles. He's the Lord of our eternities. Hallelujah. And Jesus is his name. Trust your life to him tonight. Trust your ministry to him tonight. Trust your church to him. Trust your kids to him. He knows the way through the wilderness, and Jesus is his name. And that knowledge sent Moses back to Egypt, knowing that all things were possible because the great I Am was with him. And the Lord is alive and well and at work today, and we are not alone in our struggles. Some of you feel like you're on the backside of the desert in your pastor, but you're not alone in your struggles. There's one who knows where you are and what you're doing, and he won't leave you alone. Jesus is his name. Some of you are pastoring in the big cities of across our country. You feel like you're alone, and nobody knows where you are, and nobody cares, but I want you to know there's one who cares tonight. Jesus is his name. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you are back into a corner of impossibility, and you feel like nobody cares, nobody understands, nobody knows, I want you to know that there's one who will speak to you tonight and say, I am able, and I will make things happen for you. There is a power in the name of Jesus to defeat anything that would come against you, to keep you from having victory in your ministry and in your life. I believe it with all of my heart. And if you know, if we preach the gospel, if we place proper emphasis upon the person of Jesus Christ, we're going to see miracles. That's the beautiful part of it. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see healings of all sorts and descriptions. We're going to see signs and wonders when we lift up Jesus. You know why? Because he is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the baptizer. You know, in Matthew, the third chapter, we find there that he was the baptizer, the promise of the baptizer coming. We find that in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had as his raiment camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loin, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And they came unto him from Jerusalem and Judean regions round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now when many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees had come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent ye therefore, and bring forth fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say to yourself that you've got Abraham as your father, for God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge the poor. The wheat will he gather into his garner, and he's still the baptizer today. Woo! Praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus is his name. Glory to God! Glory to God! You know, this thing's winding up, friend, very quickly. Songwriter summed up our times like this. Time's clock is striking the hour. Jesus will soon descend, clothed in the garments of power, the reign of sin to end. Then will the anthem be ringing like to a mighty flood. Then round the throne we'll be singing glory and praise to God. Glory, glory to God. Thus will the ransom sing. Glory, glory to God, the everlasting King. Praise him, hallelujah, to that eternal sphere. We are waiting for our translating. The time is near. Folks, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. Jesus is his name. Signs of the time are everywhere.
There's a brand new feeling in the air. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes upon the eastern skies. For any minute, Gable will get that signal from heaven and will blast that trumpet call, and we're going home. Hallelujah. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to rise and leave this world below and be forever with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. John, you're in the spirit. Oh, can you tell us anything about what's over there? Yesterday, said I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I saw a holy city coming down from God out of heaven. And there was no night there, for the Lamb is the light. Who's the Lamb? Jesus is his name. Woo!
Said I saw a great multitude. What were they doing, John? Well, it sounded like the voice of a great multitude. The voice of many waters. The voice of mighty thunderings. And what were they saying, John? Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And one of these days, the struggle of this life will be over. And we'll lay our trophies at his feet. And we'll join the great multitude singing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, for Thou hast redeemed us unto God out of every kindred and tongue and nation by Thy blood. Thou wast slain, You're alive forevermore, and unto You is power and dominion and glory and honor and praise, for Thou hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood. It won't be long, friend. It's just around the corner. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is his name, and he's coming for you, and he's coming for me. Praise God, praise God. You know, as we come to the conclusion of this service tonight, I'd like to just talk to you right down where we live, preachers and preachers' wives, saints that are here tonight, and our congregations. I talked to a man today with tears in his eyes, and he said, I've got to have an answer during this conference. I came here, I've got to have an answer. Some of you pastors and pastors' wives have come to this conference weighted down. You've got to have an answer. You've got to have the touch of his hand to be able to make it. You know, I've lived long enough to know that struggles are the stuff of life for most of us. And few of us, let me just bare my heart with you tonight. Maybe this is just a reflection into my own heart tonight, but few of us consistently feel good about ourselves and what we're really able to accomplish for the cause of Christ. There are times all of us wrestle with self-doubt. Anxiety is a stranger to none of us. And all of us have our periods of discouragement and certainly times of disappointment and even periods of depression. And often fears about our ministry, about our future with the church, our future on the evangelistic field, our health. Fears and frustrations track us like an angry dog following us everywhere we go. You know, I dare say there's not a one of us here tonight, but what we have some memories that haunt us just a bit. And I've had some unfulfilled dreams in my 30 years of ministry that hurt very deeply. People I've wanted to win, and I've not been able to win. People I've wanted to reach, and I've not reached them. And they've crossed the great divide. And who among us tonight hasn't felt the loneliness, which has little to do with the absence of people? And even more critical, there are some here tonight with broken family relationships that hurt so deeply. Misunderstandings with people. Distorted communication that troubles all of us. And sometimes worry raps at the door of the parsonage as an unwelcomed visitor. We face so many difficult situations at the church. Progress is slow. Conflict seems inevitable. And some of you pastors have tried every way possible to please that board, and you've not been able to do it. And some of you precious board members here tonight have tried every way possible to please that preacher, and you haven't been able to do it. See, this is a two-way street. I have no stones to throw at the men who serve on our boards. Some of the greatest men I've known have been the men who have served on the church boards where I've had the privilege of pastoring. And some of you are involved in what seems to be a losing battle. Some of you pastors' wives carry the blunt of it even more than we do sometimes. And God bless you, ladies. Some of you will follow us to the end of the world, looks like. Helping us fulfill the call of God on our lives. But you hurt, and you bleed, and you're lonesome. We're just human, you know. Some of you district officials, district officers' wives tonight have come here . You wondered if you could go any farther. Does anybody know what I'm going through? Does anybody know the load I'm carrying? If they do, does anybody care? I'm certainly not an authority on this, but I'll tell you where I found help. Jesus is his name. And he's here tonight. It's good to feel the brush of angels' wings, but I want him to touch me with his hand. I need that touch tonight. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. If I can find anything in this book, he's reaching out to you and you and you. I don't know everybody that's here tonight, and there may be some of you that are backslidden. You were invited to this conference, and it was a tugging in your heart, and you're here tonight. I don't want to embarrass you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but I want you to make your way to Jesus tonight. Give it all to him. Some of you are at the crossroads of your ministry tonight. Some of you are on the verge of resigning your pastorate with nowhere to go. It looks dark tonight. There is still one, that unfading light that can show you the way. And I believe he wants to touch you tonight. He's as close as the mention of his name. Jesus, Jesus. I want you to stand with me, please. Some of you need that healing touch tonight. At some point in time in our ministry, in our life, we all have to have that healing touch. We need it tonight. Discouraged brother, discouraged sister. Whatever you need tonight, I don't have to know about it. I can't diagnose your trouble. But there is a master psychiatrist who knows the inner recesses of your heart, the blessed Holy Spirit. And you know what he'll do? He'll point you to Jesus. Jesus is his name. There's healing and help in his name tonight. I just want you to meet with Jesus tonight, friend. Discouraged friend. Broken-hearted friend. Some of you have got children that are unsaved. I had a pastor friend tell me here a while back. He said, Armin, I've tried to raise my kids right and they've absolutely rubbed my nose in the dirt. I feel like going home and resigning. I can't face my church. There's one answer to Jesus Christ. If when you try and fail in your trying, we're in warn from the struggle of it all, come and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Would you come? I believe he's reaching out to you. Whatever your needs tonight, come on down. Let's just come and stand around the front. If you know a brother that needs help tonight, you see a brother coming, would you come and pray with a brother? Would you come and pray with a sister tonight? Just let them know that somebody cares, somebody's under the load with them. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about his name. Master, Savior, there's healing in his name tonight. Healing for broken relationships. Healing for body, mind, and soul. In answer to your prayer tonight, he can reach out to that boy, that girl that's out under the ways of the world, lost and undone. Kings and kingdoms, they all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, God, minister to my brothers tonight. Oh,
Jesus,
God. Oh, God.
Jesus, oh, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
It's like all in the name of Jesus.
After
it's all.